The current stress in the silver market is not yet a true short squeeze. What we are seeing instead is the further financialization of a physical shortage.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey. It's Monday morning at 8:10. This is the Goldfix Market Rundown. There's the homepage. We'll talk about what's on there in a little bit. We'd like to focus on the silver market today. We have a piece that's going to be coming out a little bit later on describing in the context of where we've been to say where we are and to describe where we should be in the future. We're going to give a little preview of that with a slideshow to give people a cursory overview of why this is all happening. It's geared towards people who aren't familiar with the situation, but experienced listeners will get something out of it as well, we believe. Let's go to the markets first. 10-year yields are up 3. The dollar is down 43. The S&P 500 is 6,800, down 44. NASDAQ is down 221. The VIX is up 184. That's bad. Yields up, dollar down, stocks down is bad. The yields are supposed to be down, or the dollar is supposed to be up, or stocks are supposed to be up. That's not good. And that's why you see, one of the reasons you see, gold up $36 at $42.53. Silver up $1.06, trading $57.42. Futures broke 58 last night. Copper is no slacker as well, up 1.1% at 52,523. WTI up 67 as well. Natural gas 460. Bitcoin 85,900, down 4,000. Ethereum 28,26, down 167. Palladium 14,64, up 16. Platinum 16,84, up 15 and change. Gold, silver, down 50, trading 74. 68 is my next level on that. And grains are all down to varying degrees. Okay. Before we get started, the markets have been kind to all of us and to Goldfix especially. We've been featured on, we'll be featured this morning, I believe, on the Jerusalem Post. A breakdown of Deutsche Bank saying that gold's repricing loop to $5,000 begins in 2026. Scottsdale Mint will have our silver piece. Deutsche Bank silver and platinum crash gold's party in 2026. Yahoo, real gold versus synthetic gold. These are all versions of pieces that we've given to Premium. And on Zero Hedge, thank you very much. We had three posts put up in the contributing editor section over the weekend. We appreciate the platform there. Who controls central bank gold in the euro area? SocGen, the gold market you think exists, doesn't exist anymore, and Tether holds more gold than some central banks. Anyway, we've been getting a lot of broadcast time, and that's because of the markets, obviously. The markets whose time has come. The top story is the squeeze has yet to begin. That may come as a shock to you. Especially since I like to pour water on problems, but on markets, but the squeeze has yet to begin. And I'm going to go through why that is the case presently. So you see on your screen the silver monthly chart going back to forever. And actually, this is only 2010, but it's going back to forever. We are at the end of the beginning. This is not the beginning of the end. And I'm going to go through that in a little bit why. Silver's short squeeze hasn't begun yet, physical short squeeze. What we're watching is banks attempting to paper over a physical shortage as London inventories drain, industrial demand surges, and global buyers pull supply forward. This breakdown explains how the pressure is building. This, I guess, intro to a breakdown. The current stress in the silver market is not yet a true short squeeze. What we are seeing instead is the financialization, further financialization of a physical shortage. For decades, bullion banks monetized silver by holding physical metal in London while selling futures on the COMEX, earning the carry. That trade relied on London's inventory acting as a flexible supply pool for delivery. That pool has now been nearly exhausted, with most silver contractually committed to ETFs or flowing directly to new global players. Physical demand has risen from three directions, or three cohorts. U.S. industrial users who pulled forward supply to avoid tariffs during Liberation Day because of the critical mineral status. But in general, the just-in-time concept of inventory management is dying. The General Electrics of the world are buying the silver they need for their electronics ahead of time. The military, we would also suppose, is. Second, growing investor accumulation through ETFs as people become, as American people, and well, American people mostly, become more acclimated or reacclimated, I should say, to the price of gold as a proxy to inflation, while silver looks cheap compared to it, and that's happening. And the expanding BRICS purchases from China, India, and Saudi Arabia. We suspect other Middle Eastern players are buying through sovereign wealth funds, but we can't determine who it is yet. Anyway, these three cohorts demand physical metal outright, not promises of metal. At the same time, China has intercepted upstream supply by pre-purchasing concentrates and dore bars before silver even reaches the exchanges. Bullion banks have been either unaware of this or negligent in handicapping the risk of their supply chains being co-opted by China. Unable to source replacement metal, banks roll short positions forward to defer delivery, expanding balance sheet exposure while hoping future supply materializes. The physical squeeze remains ahead. The current phase reflects paper deferral, not resolution. Now, when we talk about this later, you'll see why. For example, lease rates have not spiked this time. Contango has disappeared. Backwardation is here. And price is going up. Lease rates have not spiked because no one is leasing metal or no one's making metal available to lease. And that says the market is forced, the shorts are forced to roll and defer when they can. But we're going to go into that in a lot more detail in the follow-up podcast later on today with an accompanying written piece. Okay, so as I said, the current phase reflects paper deferral, not resolution. Silver sits at record highs amid constrained supply, global demand surges, and backwardation without capitulation, suggesting either prolonged financial stress or an explosive physical repricing ahead. The bullion banks keep doubling down on black, waiting for a physical bailout, the martingale game. But they will likely soon get a Fed bailout in the form of lower rates, which in the long run will only perpetuate the problem. This is not a one-and-done event. If there's no metal, there's no metal. And so they have to keep rolling their contracts. Every time someone stands for delivery, they deliver what they can, and then they roll their shorts back. And you're seeing that reflected in the open interest. Again, U.S. and COMEX, industrial as well as, let's say, sovereign. The BRICS and LBMA is in the middle. We're going to have a full walkthrough of this for anyone who's interested in a premium post later this morning. So we conclude, at least going to the zooming in now, the next stop would be 6450 if 5750 holds. That's a depth equals distance assessment. Again, these are all back and napkin things, but we are long and we're not getting out. Let's put it that way for now. This is a convergence of factors that have been out there forever, but people care about now. Are the shorts getting squeezed, assuming it's the bullion banks in London? Yes. Did they do it to themselves, those that are doing it to themselves? Yes. Was this a crowded trade of a carry trade that's been going on and being rolled like a martingale bet forever because they borrow cheap and they always depended on silver to be available to them? Yes. Do they not have silver and are waiting for it to come to them? Yes. The next step is, if they have to rely on financialization, meaning not adding to positions, but closing when they can and continually deferring delivery, they run into funding problems. They're going to have to start borrowing more money. And you'll probably see that in the form of balance sheet depletion. So whoever the banks are with big shorts, you would want to look at their balance sheets to see who is the most fragile. So for example, JP Morgan, big bank, has to have a big short position, maybe too big for itself. Fragile? Probably not. Probably too important to fail. Bank of America, big short position, definitely has physical against it, but it seems too big to be real. Now, why are these short positions so big now? Well, they've always been so big because they have the metal in London and they sell the futures in the US and they capture the carry. And then eventually it comes back to them when the market cycles lower. They get their futures back and they sell their physical out. They unwind it, but that hasn't happened. And when that doesn't happen and you can't get metal available to you on a continuous basis to bail you out, there's no central bank silver to be lent to you. Well, what do you have to do? You have to extend and pretend or defer. And if you successfully defer, it allows you to live to fight another day and you really are happy about that. But enter the BRICS buying, enter China making its silver unavailable, enter the US ETF buying, and enter Middle East buying, which is a new thing. For me, obvious Middle East buying is a new thing. And what you have is you have a recipe for disaster. So if you don't have the metal and you can't get it, what do? You go to your suppliers. Can I buy your concentrate? Can I buy your raw? Sorry, we already sold that to China. And then what happens? You say, all right, well, roll the shorts. Extend and pretend. Martingale. So as long as it doesn't land on zero or double zero, they'll be fine. But in the meantime, we think the market, notwithstanding margin changes, more coolant problems at server farms, silver's next target would be 6450, as long as 5750 holds. That's a technical comment, not a fundamental comment. We'd like to briefly give you one line on each story that we did over the weekend, so over the holiday. The first story is the massive CME outage jolts the markets. We covered that, very popular post, obviously, because of the real-time event. China baby making a point. That was our first insight that we're in an exchange war, so to speak, whereas the CME is going to defend its franchise at the same time that the SGE and SHFE are demanding a spot at the table. Tether's massive gold buying, already lost in the shuffle, but Tether bought a shit ton of gold, and people are wondering why, and that's because there's going to be, among other things, there's going to be a big tokenization of gold. And they're probably diversifying their own reserves like any good central bank would. Deutsche Bank silver and platinum crash gold's party in 2026. Deutsche Bank put out a very good report on gold, their 2026 report. And in it, there was a nice section on silver and platinum. But they don't give you a target. They infer a target, however, and the insights are very good. And we actually say what we think their target is. And that target is, I'll give you a hint, it's above $70. Part two, what Tether buying really means. That is a discussion, a more in-depth discussion of the market structure of the world and how money is changing. Founders First Look, you know what that is. Who controls central buying in the euro area? We'd like to draw a little bit of attention to that because there was a story covered by Reuters, covered by Bloomberg, and covered by us. And that story is, you gotta love this shit. The story as presented was, Italy seeks to nationalize, that's not the word they use, but I'll use that word, seeks to nationalize its gold and take it away from their central bank, Bank of Italia. And it was framed as the Bank of Italia will lose its autonomy if the gold's taken away. That's such horseshit. Okay, that's not what's going on here. What's going on here, and this is what we inferred. No one else has inferred this. Anyone who's talking about it publicly in the mainstream media got it from here or someone who listens to us. This is what's really going on. Central banks shouldn't have their gold if you want to use the US model. The government should have possession of the gold. So in Italy and all across Europe, we'll use Italy. Italy, the central bank has the gold, okay? But the government can confiscate it or co-opt it if they have to. Now, why is this important? Because after Grexit, after the 2011 euro crisis, I just love shit. When we were waiting for Basel III to roll out, we were studying the rule changes, and the rule changes were like this. The ECB started to restrict other central banks' ability to buy, sell, or hedge gold, as well as the rest of their FX portfolio. So while the Bank of Italy, the Central Bank of Italy, holds the gold on its balance sheet, they can't do anything with it unless the ECB wants them to. So what the ECB has been doing for the last 13 years has been slowly centralizing control, not ownership, control of the sovereign wealth of the nations that surround it. What is Italy doing? What is Meloni doing? Now, there are hazards to what she's doing if you want to look at the autonomy concept, but this is what she's doing. She's saying Italy's gold is Italy's. The ECB does not tell us what we can and cannot do with our gold, and we are introducing a bill to make sure that's completely obvious to the ECB that Italy is not your sovereign bitch. So that's extremely important. And we asked the question, who controls central bank gold in the euro area? Having done the work several years ago on this and now seeing the pushback by sovereign nations, everyone is ring-fencing their wealth. Everyone is protecting themselves. Remember, supply chains have to be reshored and onshored. And every supply chain has a mirror payment chain. And payment chains are money. Payment chains are where the money is, who controls the money, and how it's spent. So who controls central bank gold? That's on Zero Hedge as well. An extended excerpt. We really recommend, if you're interested in seeing where the puck is going to be in Europe next, that's one way to do it. And we know Tom Luongo loves that shit because he's right. Europe is becoming a continent of nations again. Continuing on the stories, Macro finally makes the case for miners. That's Bloomberg. One of the Bloomberg macro analysts, one of their real analysts, made some comments comparing miners to European stocks, and that was a take by Zero Hedge that we broke down and wrote up on our own. The Golden Thanksgiving Dinner, that's actually from 2019, but it was so good we had to put it back up there. Deutsche Bank 2026, that's the gold story. Founders DB's price target implied. We gave them our exact math on the price target, but the price target's north of 70. Founders Sunday call and silver update. The coming China-US gold exchange showdown. This is premium and silver shortage reaches China. That's the best mainstream media story that we saw rephrased and rewritten and broken down by us. And that is basically the mainstream media realizes that China is not showing that it has metal available anymore. And those are the stories. Hopefully there's something there. Why are there so many stories? Well, because precious metals reflect the world's situation geopolitically, economically, and monetarily. Data on deck, Powell, ADP, and PCE today. Fed Chair Powell speaks at 8 p.m. So that'll be interesting. I wonder what kind of questions he'll be asked. I'm not even sure of the venue. Let's take a look at the chart. Well, there's Silver Monthly. Look at that. You have a gap on Silver Monthly. Let's go to the daily. Daily. Okay, so there are three ways to extrapolate this higher, technically, and I'll give them all to you. The first one is what you really have here is, I mean, I don't know if it's technically right because the dip is too low. See, this would be a cup and handle on the daily. I don't call it a cup and handle, okay? Because It pierced too low to be a cup and handle. Doesn't matter. It's still very bullish. You want to call it a cup and handle? I don't care. You want to call it a coffee mug? I don't care, but that's what it is, right? So this is a bullish configuration like a cup and handle. Then you have people that trade with trend lines will say, well, we have, or GAN lines or speed lines will say you have a trend line that comes in like this. I'm going to cuff it like that, right? And they'll say that we're increasing in our speed. So that becomes this. And you can actually look at it like as a channel here, depending on how you draw it. And I don't pay too much attention to diagonal channels. However, there was one of these in gold that again, something I don't pay attention to, that Michael Oliver was paying attention to. And he was looking at it on, I think, on a monthly basis going all the way back. And once we got above it, the market did, in fact, run a slip. We were trading in the 2000s. So that's the second one. I've seen that. And I think that's valid, even though I don't focus on those. The third one is something I call this a specialty of mine. When a market makes new all-time highs or all-time highs that are really fresh, we look at the depth. And we say depth, if it breaks above it, equals distance. And it's a very simple but old and good rule of thumb. Everyone who shorted it down here, covered here. And those people reverse position and they drive at the same distance higher. Is that literally something you should think? No, but that is how things happen. That's how rounding bottoms happen. The market goes down in a disorganized fashion, starts to ratchet up as people cover shorts. This isn't clean that way. And then they say, okay, I'm going to buy it now. And they get a signal. Remember, this signal was a signal for them to sell. And above that signal is a signal for those same yahoos to buy it. Okay? So depth equals distance. And that brings us $9 lower to about 45. I'm sorry, 54.5 to 46.5, something like 45.5. And so that's about, we'll call it $9. And you add $9 to the top of this. And if we break it, which is about 54.5 or 57.5, if we break it, you expect 64. And that's where we are. Above 57.5. I'm sorry, above, Jesus, I'm making it worse than it is. Above 54.5 gets us 64.5. Above 50, I have the real math written down. Above, here it is. Timeout. Above 55.5 at $9, that's 63.5. That's the key. So if we hold 55.5, we go to 63.5. You're like, oh, is that good? Yeah, that's good. Because if you were to buy it here, you're risking $3 to make six. And that's 2-to-1 as a trade. All right, I'm Vince. Let's take a look at gold, right? Why not? Nobody cares about gold. All right, so people in the chat know that I said when gold broke above this level, 4160 it was. When gold broke above here, I added to a silver position because I think this is the leg where silver outperforms. And in fact, if you're buying gold because silver's going up, you might have a problem. Okay, this is silver's breakout from here in gold. Same idea. Okay, so I think silver's catching up configuration-wise, even though this looks like a, you know, the same kind of trend channel. Anyway, that's it. I'm Vince. Have a great day. One final thing, we're going to have that out to subscribers, the full walkthrough of this early explanation that we did, and we'll have a copy of the note, the audio note transcript that we recorded this morning at 5:45 to the founders as well. Take care.
Well, thank you, Vincent, for this morning's update on another exciting day in the gold and silver markets. Hopefully you enjoyed that one at home, and sure appreciate you being here as we watch to see if Donald Trump's plan to give everybody $2,000 and pay off the national debt is successful. Interesting proposal that Not sure I'm seeing that one just yet, although fortunately in terms of things that are easier to see is the progress from one of our proud sponsors, Dolly Varden Silver, that had another great set of drill results back on November 10th, so just a week ago, including 26.74 grams per ton gold, over 14.76 meters, and I did catch up with Sean Kunkin, who is the CEO of Dolly Varden, and let's take a quick listen to what he had to say about the latest drill results.
I've been running Dolly Varden since we met, and we made a very significant discovery that we had out today. You know, in addition to having a lot of silver on the property, we just had one of the best gold hits that is not factored into our current mineral resource estimate. So we just put out a pretty significant number, 26 grams of gold over 14 meters, which is, you know, this is a world-class hit. And this, again, not within our existing resource. So I like to get into the solution for people.
Well, thank you, Sean, and thank you to Dolly, and thank you for everyone watching at home. Do hope you're doing well out there and having a great morning. And in case you'd like to hear a little bit more about the drill results from the geological side, well, just take a look at this video coming your way now.